Aditya.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're gonna get started, tell people a little bit about what you guys are doing. I'll introduce Off10 as well. And hopefully people will start joining as we go along. So
Yep.
quickly to introduce Art & Found, it's one of my favorite small businesses, like I was telling everyone before you joined. We do fantastic work in democratizing art, making it available to the larger public. Art was for too long inaccessible to a lot of people. This is good quality original art by local artists, which is very important. Could you tell me about how you started Art and Found, about what are the other things you're running right now as well?
Firstly, thanks for having me. And it's been a while since we spoke, since I've seen Off10. So hoping to, get back in that space, put up some art and stuff, have some maybe workshops and sessions, and let's make it happen.
Absolutely.
But yeah, to answer your question, I started Art and Found as a side project while I was an art director at Ogilvy Mumbai. And the idea was to build a platform for artists, designers, photographers, illustrators, who I was surrounded with, practically like in the advertising industry, you're surrounded by this talent. And back then, their work was always in the form of social currency on, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Behance, in the form of likes, comments, and shares. And I basically wanted to build a platform where they could put up their work, which could also be sold, to millennials like myself, who would want to own that sort of new age art, for their homes and offices. So it was basically, bringing the two together and building a platform for curated affordable art, which then went on to become Art and Found.
So tell me a little bit more about why you think that is important in today's day and age. Because art as a medium was, as we kind of look back, has always been, for the elite. It's always been, either a way of showing a discontentment amongst the masses or something to collect for the, elite right now. How has that changed? What have you done that's, changing the way art is perceived right now?
Yeah, so if I put it in a sentence now, it's that we uncomplicate art by making it accessible. And, by that, if I had to break it down, art has always been, intimidating or expensive, and basically wanted to build a platform where, of course, amazing art was made super affordable, but also that it was easily accessible, via online, or be able to scale to a global audience. How can a small company from Mumbai be able to, sell art worldwide? And be able to expose this incredible talent that we have in our country. Those two things were pretty much the basis of, what was built for Art and Found, and then kind of also extended into curating, which is what, people are always looking for. They're always looking for someone to help curate their space, style their space, help them choose the decor items and the art, and maybe rugs, and get that right color palette and so on. And now, we just extend that as a service, that just comes naturally with the kind of products that we have.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic because we've had, curated all the art at Off10, for example, that from some amazing artists. Some of them are on your platform as well. So I actually want to talk about that as well. Bringing local artists, local individuals. And we hear the term struggling artists all the time. And we talk about, how artists don't have a platform. Just to get yourself listed in a gallery is close to impossible nowadays. So how are initiatives like yours changing that for, someone who's a brilliant, talented young person who wants to show off their art? How do they go about working with you?
Yeah, so when I started building the platform, I wanted to keep it invite only. I wanted that one level of curation, already in place. And I know like curation is usually used term and, you know, thrown about everywhere, but I wanted my idea of curation, and that was, you know, to keep it invite only. And it basically started with, you know, the kind of art that I like, you know, that I had a taste for, which also had to be quite eclectic, you know, it couldn't be that one unidirectional. So it started with that and then sort of just developed its personality into, you know, becoming the curation standard for Art and Found. And, you know, there's no checklist or anything. You know, I get asked this question, how do you curate? You know, what's your curation like?
Right.
But, you know, it's just something that was intuitive that develops into the personality of the brand. Right. And that sets a level of curation. But also, like, you know, after artists put up their work, it goes through a review process before being published on the website.
Right.
So today, like, if an artist wants to join Art and Found, you know, there's an invite code that they need, which is sent to them after their portfolio is reviewed. And that's how we keep things, you know, curated.
Absolutely. That's actually interesting to hear, because like you said, people have different tastes in art, and something and talking about taste and talking about art has always been a topic that's reserved. You know, you have specific people who are art collectors or who help you curate art. But now you're sort of doing it in a manner that's more accessible, right? People can actually apply to be part of something like this or hear from their friends and get involved. So the art community is now coming together and supporting smaller artists as well. Speaking of which, now that we I want to talk a little bit about Design Fights COVID, which is a fantastic initiative that you started. I'll let you introduce it. Let you talk a little bit about it.
Sure. So, you know, since the lockdown, we wanted to do something that could positively contribute to the situation. And, you know, as a curator, the easiest thing for us to do is to, you know, announce a call for entries, open call for entries. That could, you know, be around COVID and the pandemic and lockdown. And, you know, we wanted it to be slightly more bigger than that, have some more depth to it. And there were a couple of ideas floating around, but then it came down to like helping the NGOs who were already out there fighting COVID and looking for funds to do so. And this is across the board, you know, from NGOs involved in making personal protective equipment to, you know, helping stray animals to migrant workers, or even like, you know, looking into domestic violence cases during the lockdown and so on. And there was a story that was strong there. And what we did is basically just put together the idea. And then everything happened very quickly, like, you know, practically like overnight, where we wrote the content, built the microsite, put the list of NGOs together, and reached out to the artists. And the brief was very simple. It was creating art to support an NGO to raise funds. So as an artist, you could pick from a list of verified NGOs and create an artwork for them to give them a voice and help them raise funds. And, you know, we reached out to our artists, and then there was a phenomenal response, and then we got like major traction. It, you know, did really well, and we're just super grateful to all the artists who, you know, put in all their heart into this campaign. And it's still up, you know, and the fight is still on. You know, the artwork still keep coming in as long as the fight is still on.
Right.
And then over time, we got a lot of queries for orders and sales. So then, you know, we opened it up. We put the collection up on Art and Found on the website. And it's there now, with proceeds of sales going to an NGO, Makers Asylum, who's doing PPE kits in Bombay. So, you know, it just comes down to the idea of what you can leverage in a time of crisis, you know, to be able to positively contribute to that. And for us as curators, you know, we've got creative community in front of us that we can leverage. And that's what we did.
Absolutely. And I'm going to touch upon a couple of points that you raised there. The first one that I found super interesting was leveraging that creative community, because art as a medium of expression over history, if you see, has been you know, most effective in times like this, times of crisis. You know, the other day I saw a fantastic Banksy video. I think everyone's seen it by now, on the subway, where he's talking about, he's using so I think you know, how has this impacted, you know, artists right now? Because obviously they are commission driven. Big companies are probably not shelling out as much money as possible. Most of these artists are freelancers. They don't have a constant income during COVID. So what is the impact of COVID on traditional artists as well? And how, I'm sure you've seen these selfless artists putting their art out there to be contributing towards, you know, that incredible ability that is only you see in the art world, to be able to give up profits to help people in real need, even when they're not seeing a constant income come in. So how can you comment a little bit on that as well?
Yeah, it's a super tough time right now with work not coming in for artists, for designers, for freelancers, creative community in general. But I think what's important is, you know, because things are so uncertain, to not wait for things to be normal again, for work to keep coming in, to start coming in again. But I think every creative should ask themselves, like, what can I do? How can I make best use of the situation? So one of the things is, can you skill up? You know,
right.
Can you do something? Can you pick up another skill that may help you, you know, widen your list of services that you provide? You know, if you're a graphic designer, can you sort of add motion graphics to your skill? Can you just, you know, learn basics of After Effects that can open your gaps, like, wider for the kind of work that you can take in? So I think now is a great time. We've all got a lot more time than what we would have normally, and, you know, we're able to do things that you would have normally wouldn't have given time to. And I think, you know, that's one of the best ways to go about it. You know, I just put up a story yesterday of Google announcing, you know, scholarships for courses online. One of them included UX. If you're a designer, you should go for that course, you know, like, this is going to be a massive skill gain. And that's what you want to do. You want to constantly increase your value, you know, because your value is going to be your worth in the market. So the more you pay attention to increasing that, that's what it's going to do. You know, the money just comes in.
Right. And I want to also ask you a little bit about the art business as a whole and its impact. The COVID's impact on it going forward. Because you're seeing people spend more and more time at home. I feel like your product is uniquely positioned for people to, you know, to cater to that demand of having good quality art, inspiring art in your homes. So how do you see that in terms of your business model, etc.?
Are you saying from like a buyer's perspective of bringing art into their homes?
Absolutely. And also from being a curating a website perspective, because I don't know how comfortable people are going to be to visit a gallery going forward, right? So consuming art, not only content, but it's also buying stuff, bringing art into their home, etc. So it's a very interesting proposition for you guys also now.
Yeah, I mean, online sales of art in India has always been a slow game anyway. So, you know, I'm aware of that. And, you know, as a company, we are aware of that. It's a slow game. You know, it's like a long-term survival game to be able to crack the online art market. But I think right now, yeah, sure, there is like interest in, you know, doing up your space because, you know, your home longer, and then maybe there's corners that I want to do that, you know, I wouldn't have done earlier, you know. So there is that insight that's there right now. So it's about capitalizing on things like that and asking yourself, like, okay, now what can I do, you know? And one of the things is that conversion as a metric has taken a back step, you know, like, of course, conversions is the highest metrics. Everyone wants sales at the end. That's
correct.
What you're doing. You know, otherwise do a side project or, like, you know, whatever. But maybe now is not the best time to look at conversion as the top metric. I feel right now is engagement. And I feel like the smarter ones are going to keep their audience engaged so that then they can start spending. I'm quite optimistic about this, that post-COVID, post-pandemic, there is going to be that surge of buying, you know, like, it's almost like there'll be a spike and then things will come back to equilibrium, you know. probably in the luxury space, there might be the revenge buying, what we saw, like what happened in China and stuff.
Right.
So I think it's important to like prioritize which metric is important for you right now. Focus on that and do your best, you know, to drive sales eventually. So for me, like right now, I feel it's engagement where I can, you know, educate my audience, create more awareness about art, you know, expose new artists that we've got on board and so on Instagram, where people are spending most of their time.
Absolutely.
I only hope that that can convert into sales, you know, because I can't be too bullish on sales right now because of the situation.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's important to be aware of as a business person, as a designer, as an entrepreneur, as a freelancer, that what should I actually focus on right now, you know?
Right. Especially in the content space or in the art space or the creative space like you are in, where there's, like you said, there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and creating good quality content, etc., is accessible to everyone more than ever because people are also consuming good quality content right now. So it's a lot of opportunities right now to stand apart and sort of build your own brand and talk to your audience finally, right?
Absolutely, like yeah. I mean, it's great. I love it because it's actually given us time to like look at those gaps that we had, like be it personal branding, be it my brand's branding, communication, positioning, what do I actually want to say, stripping off the stuff that didn't matter, you know, like all of that. And like, you work on that and, you know, your like focus is so much narrowed, and, you know, that's just going to always be better because the takeaway you want for your audience should be like snappy. It should be like quick, right? It should be concise. So right. The more you streamline your positioning and your talk, it's just going to be easier for your audience to take away. Because there's like so much clutter. It's like you can put the greatest video or the, you know, greatest campaign, and then like 30 minutes later, they moved on to something else. What you want to focus on is like, how can I consistently drive that same message
right
over a frequency, you know, right, of a high frequency.
Absolutely. Like you said, breaking through the clutter is important. Standing out is important. Someone actually has a question. I'd like you to address that as well. What do you define as good quality? It's very subjective, obviously, right? And something that they want to sort of get your perspective on.
So if it's with art,
yeah,
I think I look for originality. And by that, I mean, when I look at genres, for example, black and white photography, single line drawing, collage, minimal, maximalism, and so on. So I look for artists who are approaching that genre differently.
Right.
Are they trying to create a style out of it? Even if that style is like a maybe, that's not like yes right off the bat. But I know like they're taking that risk to at least be original.
Right.
That's what I look for.
Fantastic. I also want to know your perspective, since at the end of the day, you're working with a bunch of individuals, freelancers, and I would call them small businesses, you know, just to give people context. Each artist is a small business in itself. They're trying to build a brand from scratch. They're trying to, you know, get themselves out there, etc. What kind of advice would you have to offer them, you know, right now going forward to build their own brand, make themselves more marketable? Because most creative people are struggle with the sales aspect of running a business. So how would you advise people?
Are you saying in general or like the design or creative community?
I'm talking about the design and creative community in particular.
Yeah, so I mean, I would go back to that thing I was talking about, you know, skilling up. I think right. That's an important one right now. And I think look for avenues where you can provide your value right now. If not, you know, trying to make every project commercial, because we know like it's hard for, you know, brands to spend money right now.
Right.
They want to spend money, like brands desperately want to spend money, but unfortunately they can't. They're getting stuck at the ROI metric.
Absolutely.
Because like they know that it's not going to get them ROI, and it's completely dependent on the situation every day. And every day the situation is that, you know, the cases are rising. So if I was a brand manager or a business owner, I would definitely be worried about ROI, you know, as much as I want to spend and engage my audience. So, you know, think about like, what's the value you can maybe bring to your clients if it's not going to be in the same relationship as you had expected. For example, if you're a designer or freelancer on a retainer, and if your retainer has been cut off, what can you still do to be able to maintain that relationship? It's a tough time for everyone. Take the hit, you know, take the hit, but like, how are you still gonna keep the vibe, you know, still up? So I think it's important to, it's gonna be a tough one for sure. Like, personally, I'm feeling the pinch, you know, in July. July is a tough month. We're in mid-July, and you know, it's gonna be a tough one by the end of the month. But I think it's about that, where you recognize what's in your control and what's not in your control, and then what can I do best with what's in my control.
Right. Speaking of which, you know, that's fantastic, because I want to talk about before the human aspect of this. There are people behind who are struggling, and art has been a fantastic outlet to let people express emotion, to feel less lonely, to be able to, you know, express their... So can you talk a little bit about your personal journey through art, through working with so many fantastic artists, and how you're coping with these times using art specifically?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, you know, the reason I started Art and Found is, one, because I personally wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone that I was in, you know, in Ogilvy. I wanted something that I could build for myself and maybe have an impact, like, you know, for a community that, you know, I could be recognized with or maybe be connected with. And for that, for me back then, was like, you know, the creative community. I mean, it still is, but like, that's the reason I started. The second is that, you know, it's the mission that goes with why I started Art and Found, was to increase the value of art and design in India.
Right.
And like, you know, for me, it's always been undervalued. It still is, I feel.
Yeah.
But like, for me, the goldmine was like, we have this incredible talent in our country, and the work is like absolutely phenomenal. And like, we suck at marketing so bad that like, people still think we do like paisleys and doodling and, you know, like rangoli and whatnot.
Right.
If you literally like Google India art or India design, and you go to images, you'll see like stuff that you don't want to be known for. If like the world is something in Tokyo or like San Francisco sitting and Googling India art and India, I don't want them to see that shit, man. You know,
right.
I want them to see like what we are actually known for, the kind of work that we do here, which is incredible. Like, that's the best part of my job, you know, still today, is discovering great artists that we have in our country and bringing them to the limelight. And if I can do that and, you know, be able to be a company from India that can put Indian art and design, the real like art of our times, on the global map, you know, that's going to be an incredible story for me. So like, you know, for me, it's that, like, can we do that? And like, collectively, can we just, you know, raise the creative quotient, raise the aesthetic quotient, you know, of India.
And also, just, you know, this is kind of something that I was meaning to see, ask you in the when we met as well. Bringing Indian art to the whole world, I think you're a fantastic platform. I can make that. Have you seen any traction in terms of that? People actually ordering some of India's best artists' work abroad. Have you seen, you know, that as a potential way of growing?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we just shipped out like about 7 to 8 orders, international orders, like just today. I mean, they didn't all come today. That would be nuts. But no, it was just like during the lockdown, we did have quite a few international orders. So this, I am seeing that happen. And, you know, that's the dream, right? Obviously, like that art company from India that appeals globally
Absolutely.
To a universal audience, you know? I mean, like, I was on work trips to San Francisco and New York last year. And like, you know, sometimes I would just like, you know, show people the Art and Found Instagram page and just, you know, scroll. through, and you know, they would be like, their jaws would drop, like, oh my god, like, where is this from? Like, where are you from? Like, how are these artists like doing such amazing work? And so, like, that's still the perception, you know, about like India. You know, nobody knows still like where Mumbai is. And it's like,
absolutely,
dude, this is my mission now, dude. If you guys don't know, this is like driving me even further to like, you know, up the game. And like, you know, for sure, man, the idea is always that, like, want to be this globally recognized brand, which is known, you know, for the local artists. I think the challenge is always, you know, reach, to be able to reach an audience in a location that you're geographically not involved in, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Even with social media, it can be difficult to get that reach. I think physical presence still matters, you know, sometimes.
But I think you're one of the companies that I have seen which is able to marry that, you know, ability to get the best artists on board and market them in a way that it's appealing to a wider audience.
Yeah.
Even me, when I go on your website, I think about, I have like a certain type of art, but I always end up picking up something completely different. So
yeah,
what I would usually do, because I always discover something new.
Yeah, I remember when we were curating for your space, right? We sort of went through that exercise. Yeah.
Right. So it's always surprising to see, you know, kind of work that's coming out of India. And these are, you know, young people who's producing, you know, some fantastic work. Every time I go there, I see like a different aesthetic that you guys are working with and playing with as well, which is fantastic. Quickly, I don't want to take any more of your time. This has been fantastic. If you can, you know, end by telling us a little bit more about Design Fights COVID, how we can contribute, how we can, you know, I think that's one of the initiatives that I do want to be, you know, push a little bit. So you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a campaign that will always be close to our hearts. You know, it's in the time of a pandemic. It's something unprecedented that we've never experienced. We don't know how to behave. Nobody knows. Nobody has answers. Everyone wants to be optimistic, but because of the uncertainty, they don't. Okay, somebody said slow down, man. Maybe I need to talk slower.
I don't know if that was me or that was for you, but either way.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're not taking like entries anymore because there's already a lot of art that we've got for Design Fights COVID. But now our aim is to, you know, sell. Obviously, you know, be able to. Artists have put in so much of their love, time, effort to create like incredible work. You know, it's all on Art and Found Instagram and also on the website as a collection. Now it's about like, let's get some sales for these artists,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And let's get those proceeds from the sales to, you know, Makers Asylum, who's out there, you know, still making personal protective equipment. So that's always the challenging bit for us.
The supply
side of the art market is always much bigger than the buyer side. So yeah, we can only.
But I think this is a fantastic way for anyone to contribute now, because you can not only put in some money to get great art for yourself, but see, you know, benefits going towards this larger fight that we're all a part of. So thank you so much again for your time. I'll also add a link on our website to the to your microsite that you've created. And I lost you. Yeah, sorry, you're back. Yeah, but thank you again. So I'll add a link. People, please go check out the link. Make a purchase. It's an easy way for you to contribute to the larger fight and get some fantastic art as well. So thank you again, Aditya. I think I keep losing you. You're back.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was just thanking you and telling people about Design Fights COVID. Thank you so much for your time again. It was fantastic. And hopefully I'll see you at often soon.
Thanks so much, man. This is great. A lot of fun.
Take care. Bye.